You are listening to Retheus by Minute. I'm your host, Connor Coulson. This is Minute 100. We're finally at Minute 100. I can't believe it. This minute begins with Shaw saying, "You made it here and it was meant for us. Why?" And ends with Shaw somehow running away from the engineer despite just having had a cesarean. And once again, I am joined by Eric Nash of Watchmen Minute and Almost Famous Minute.
Yeah, hey Connor, glad to be back. Yeah, we do. Yeah, you do have a special minute here of 100, and it just so happens the engineer being a badass is.
The engineer is so cool. I do understand why the engineers have a dedicated fan group. You know, within the alien fandom, there are people who are just they've researched the language. Oh, wow. They're really into it, and I probably haven't gone that in depth, but I'm definitely a fan. And, oh, the language I should mention, if those of you remember from like 100 episodes ago, it's based on a Proto-Indo-European. And that's technically not a language we know exists. It's a reconstruction of a language thought to have preceded all modern Indo-European language. So like retro-engineering, if you will. And, well, of course, that implies that the engineers gave us language. So this scene plays out quite differently in the alternate version on the Blu-ray. In the film, I'll just detail the events for those who don't remember. The film version, David says one line to the engineer, and then he immediately decides to snap David's head off and beat Waylon to death with it, which is hilarious. As for the alternate version, we're going to have a little bit more build-up. There's a little bit more back and forth between David and the engineer. There's a few little details here and there, like Eric in the last minute pointed out that the engineer seems to struggle to wake up a little bit more. He's a little slower. But I think primarily the biggest change is that dialogue between David and the engineer. I think that's very important. And which one do you prefer?
I mean, you know, certainly, yeah, like you're saying, there is more there in the deleted scene. But do I like where is kind of hinting at, I think? Mm. You know, I mean, there's the part where the engineer seems to say, I actually got this extra stuff from the YouTube link, from the comments or the post itself. You know, it said David translates as he asks to know why you are here, but literally it is much more complex. Something like, what does he want of you? Name his wish. You know, so there's almost this genie-like thing, you know, it's kind of making the engineer out to be. And he does have a bit of a bluish tint, similar to the Aladdin genie, at least.
Yeah, I'm wondering, I guess that person might have actually, because it is based on Proto-Indo, Pi, the language, I guess they might have actually been able to just pull that apart themselves, because that's...
Yeah, and it said at the bottom of this, says, "Source, a grammar of modern Indo-European, Prometheus edition by Carlos Quiles and Fernando Lopez Manchero."
Oh, yes.
But I guess my point is that, you know, he's... To try and answer your question a bit, you know, do I like, you know, some of the things that he says? Maybe not so much. You know, maybe I want it to be a little more straightforward and not get so kind of bogged down in what is said back and forth here.
Yeah, that seems to be something that this film struggles to find the balance for. So there's been a lot of scenes in the past where I say Ridley is probably too efficient. He's cutting out important things, like Wayland and Vickers only get one scene together to really flesh out their relationship. Uh-huh. And it's cut down so much, and a lot of the key bits of information are cut out to the point where I go, well, you've actually lost the meaning of this scene. I don't understand. But with this one, I can understand why they revised it, because what do you say to your creator, and what does your creator say to you, and how do you make that emotionally satisfying for an audience of, you know, potentially millions of people. It's a tall order, and I don't know if there's anyone, any writer, who could give us something satisfying. Maybe, I mean, yeah, Kubrick, 2001 A Space Odyssey, that's really a wonderful example of dealing with gods or these ascended beings and leaving it very open to interpretation. And, well, Ridley's trying to make his own 2001 here, but the problem is you have this physical being, you know, it's not this sort of floating consciousness, or it is, you know, a being of flesh and blood who you can talk to, and yeah, so it's kind of, I don't envy the writers, is what I'm going to say.
Yeah. Well, and what to what you were just saying, he's a being of flesh and blood, and, you know, he is just one of many. Really? I mean, now, David and Waylon might not know that.
Yeah.
Might not have that conception, but, you know, but what with especially with Alien Covenant, we now know, especially, that there are a lot of this species.
Yeah.
That seemingly purposefully created us, the human beings, Homo sapiens, but really, was it just a certain part sect of them? There was a little additional YouTube thing that wanted to play right after this YouTube clip that you gave me, and I did go ahead and watch that. And so that was mainly one guy's take on, you know, I think he gave like two or three different ideas that are out there in the ether, and then he even then additionally gave kind of summarized what Ridley said in an interview.
Yeah. It's really interesting how many different directions they went in with the engineers in the making of and in the early scripts. So, well, I'll give us some quick little snippets here. This is page 100 of the engineer script by Jonathan Spates. Behind the sleeper, a race platform of dark machinery is accessible by one of the Juggernaut's odd curving ramps. The sleeper ascends. The ramp's odd design is explained. The ramp comes alive, reaching up with 100 mechanical arms and lifting him aloft like a sea god borne by the waves. Top the platform, the sleeper moves from one device to the next. Each comes alive. He is a wizard in his own kingdom. Watts sees halos of light dancing in the air around him, but what he learns from his machines does not comfort him. He grows distraught, keening to himself in near subsonic tones. David steps forward, calls to the sleeper in the tongue of the engineers. David speaks. The sleeper turns in astonishment. He looks down at David and answers in the same tongue. He is angry, accusing. He points at David, at the humans, tones of accusation. David cajoles, soothes, pleads. The sleeper descends towards David. David spreads his arms in welcome, undeniable emotion in his face, joy. The sleeper lays his hands on David's head as if blessing him. David is rapturous. The sleeper speaks a single phrase and tears David's head off. So this is one of the earlier scripts, it's the earliest one we have access to, but there are supposedly earlier ones. And it's a very different meaning, or at least what I'm getting out of that is very different.
Yeah, and I came across the same one that you were just reading from. But I kind of picked it up because of, you know, where we were with this these minutes that I'm on for. You know, one of the first things that I see that David is saying back to this Watts character, and is that Shaw?
That's Shaw, yeah.
Yeah. You know, he says, "Let sleeping gods lie." I mean, so no, it's a question back, and it seems like, you know, it's not saying that that's what he wants, but he's kind of giving that as maybe an option.
Yeah.
That, or it's just too good of a line.
Yeah, I mean, God is dog backwards. It was there. Yeah. They had to take it.
But yeah, you know, I mean, this, you know, and calling him the sleeper as well throughout, you know, something that kind of shocked me too, that, you know, they're not calling him the engineer at this point.
Yeah, wondering if there was going to be more than one, because obviously, well, there's heaps of corpses around the place, but there were three other cryopods, but they're either empty or the occupants died. I don't think we see.
I mean, for the theatrical cut, at least, you know, I mean, that's what I think was indicated is David indicates there's one surviving engineer that he found.
Yeah.
You know, amongst presumably, you know, the two or three, however many there are around this cryopods.
I feel like this scene makes it seem like, this is just another engineer. He's not, you know, your creator god. He's woken up, he's looking at the readouts on his machines, and he's upset about something, and he's blaming the humans. That's a totally different implication.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so our next one is The Paradise Script by David Lindelof, and this is page 95. It's interesting that the scripts basically line up. I guess if you're going for a movie of a certain length, there are so many script pages you got to follow. So, Wayland gets up from his chair on hobbled legs, in awe of this beautiful yet frightening being, and David starts speaking to it. That complicated system of clicks and guttural hums we heard him practicing at the top of the movie. Wayland says, "What are you saying to him?" But David ignores Wayland, continues speaking. God, what we wouldn't do to see some subtitles. I love David Lindelof's writing. Now the engineer looks at Wayland, blinks, seems to register him for the first time. It's clearly confused. Wayland looks up into the eye of his god, a spectrum of intense emotion. Arrogance turns to fear, fear turns to awe turns to desperation as tears literally fill his aged eyes, and he softly says, "We came, just like you asked. A beat, another." Then the engineer finally rises to his full majestic height, turns toward David, who has been talking the entire time. Whatever it is that he just said, it has gotten a reaction. And finally, the engineer speaks. Shaw registers this, drawn to this imposing being in a way she can't describe. It is literally breathtaking. The engineer steps forward now, its enormous face impassive, impossible to read, that leans over David, studies him, and then, without warning, rips his head off. So that one, the Paradise Script, is closer to the final script, and there's not much of a difference there, but I think what's worth mentioning is just the difference with Wayland, in that he's a more nuanced character. There's some vulnerability, there's some humanity there.
I would be interested in seeing if what you said earlier, if that's your kind of answer to this question I did have about David speaking the language, actually verbalizing it. And, you know, I mean, I think you indicated that, I don't know if it's just because, this is what they came up with, this is what we hear, so why wouldn't it be that's the language that are pretty close to, you know, the language, you know, similar to the Latin Romance languages or have some striking similarities between them. To the point that my middle school Spanish teacher, he himself was actually Italian and then spoke Italian, but then he also spoke English and Spanish too.
Yeah, but, jumping across from, so there's certain languages where it's very easy to jump across, and those Indo-European ones definitely do that. The Romance languages, as you say. I learned Italian in school, and Spanish is pretty easy. Even German, sometimes I go, I'm actually picking up more of this than I expected to.
But my point is that it can make sense to a point. I mean, we've been doing it with Egyptian hieroglyphics, and understanding that as a language and being able to put our English words to
Rosetta Stone
and other languages too, I'm sure. But to what those mean, but that you could ever really get just from that what something is supposed to sound like is beyond me.
True. I was thinking about this just the other day. Like, hang on, so you have the Rosetta Stone and you sort of compare these languages, and you might know that these symbols have this meaning, but how do you know how it's actually pronounced? I guess it's just sort of guesswork based on existing languages that are related. But yeah, maybe the difference between, you know, GIF and JIF, but in the engineer yeah. language, huge difference. Maybe David got a few things off by just, you know, one sound here or there. Instead of saying, you know, we came just like you asked, it's like, we came to kill you. What? It's entirely possible. We don't know.
But that could help explain a lot there. Yeah.
So now it's a very hostile situation. The engineer's just woken up. They're like, yeah, this old guy wants to be immortal. If you don't do it, he'll kill you. Excuse me? Hey, there's no subtitles on this scene. I can add them. That is what they say now. Yeah. I do like how in, I think, both versions, they do... David says to the engineer, you know, I told him you wanted to live forever, and he asked, why? So when he says, when the engineer is supposedly asking why, it's a lot longer than that. So, and it's very aggressive. So I wonder what he's saying there.
Yeah.
And I have to wonder if he can actually understand English, because it feels like the translation is only necessary one way. The engineer seems to be picking up stuff, even though he doesn't supposedly speak the language. Mm-hmm. Maybe that cryo bed is like, have you seen Venture Brothers?
No, I haven't.
Because, yeah, the Venture Brothers, their beds teach them when they sleep, so they don't go to school. Their beds are like these, I don't know, really high-tech things that will teach them while they sleep. Is that what's been going on? So he's been learning English while he sleeps.
Pretty similar to Matrix, too, I'd say.
Oh, yeah. I know Kung Fu. Yeah. Not to go on too much of a tangent, but I am fascinated with that idea of if you could just upload the information of something, but you don't have the muscle memory, what is that like? Yeah. So you do know Kung Fu, but you also haven't trained yourself to have that kind of reflex, balance, motor skills, all that sort of stuff. It's just very floppy fish Kung Fu. Weyland explains that, and this is in the actual scene, it's getting very confusing now. Weyland explains that he is a creator, like the engineers, and therefore superior. Gods, they can never die. And I feel like the engineer understands. I don't know if it... Would this scene have benefited if David then translated that? I don't know. It's kind of movie logic where we kind of just need to keep it moving along. We don't need this very slow back and forth. Ooh, the other example would be, have you ever watched Stargate?
Yeah. It's been a while since I've seen the original movie. The show, hardly at all.
The movie does a better job of this where there is that language barrier and Daniel Jackson... Yeah. Has to really work to go, okay, so this is kind of like Egyptian, and I think I can understand what they're saying. There's that, yeah, there is that challenge of the language barrier. Mm. Whereas in the TV show, they do it a little bit, but mostly they just go, oh yeah, conveniently, they all speak English for a series of convoluted reasons that get more and more convoluted as seasons get into the double digits.
In the deleted scene, even though, you know, there are these extra parts, it's not, you know, it's still having what we have in the minute proper that we're covering, that Shaw keeps blurting out, just like she was starting to at the end of the last minute, you know, and continue, you know, asking the why and, you know, wanting to find out. And, you know, yeah, it's the getting hit, you know, I don't know, maybe not on understand him, the engineer understanding English, but he understands.
Yeah, that he's seeing humans are still being cruel and violent towards each other.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
yeah, I hadn't thought of that. I
mean, a hit is a hit in any language.
Yes, it's pretty universal.
Abuse. Yeah.
And various specialists in relevant fields talking about alien life do say that our best chance of being able to communicate with an alien is if they have a similar body plan to us, because if they do interact with the physical world in a way that we can relate to, that kind of narrows down the possibilities of the possible ways that they've evolved to communicate and interact with their world. Whereas, you know, us trying to communicate with a floating gas cloud or Cthulhu, you know, it's... I mean, Cthulhu's still got four limbs, but, you know, he's also very squiddy. yeah, the more physically alien, the more psychologically alien they theorize, which is I mean, well, we've got nothing to back that up, but I think that's quite an interesting thought, at least. The scripts even say that the engineer is displaying body language that the humans and David are understanding. So that would be an interesting idea, I guess. Well, we are related, so our body language extends from engineer body language, I guess. Yeah.
It's made me really, having this discussion has made me really want to watch Arrival again.
Yes.
You've seen that?
Yeah. Oh, so good. Yeah. Denis Villeneuve, there we go. Trying to pronounce it. I love everything he does. He's going to be doing Dune next. Yes. Give it to me.
Yeah.
Right. It's looking sick so far. Have you seen the photos?
A few of them. I don't know that I've
seen. The armor looks so cool.
Not all of them, but yeah. Well, you didn't see my reinterpretation of the revised logo with the E at the end. So when they posted that in the Minute Makers, I went ahead and took that image, copied the E over to the beginning, and modified an R and put in the I, and then the C was the same to spell my name. Since it happens to be both happen to be four letters long.
Possible reason that the engineers were pissed off was, oh, okay, so thousands of years have passed and you humans are still violent. Yeah, I'm totally over this, so I'm going to destroy you all. Or, I mean, he takes it out on David. So my other theory is maybe creating androids is a problem. Maybe it's possible that engineers at one point created mechanical life themselves, and to quote H.P. Lovecraft here in the Mountains of Madness, which ostensibly inspired this film, what was it that they created? They dabbled in mechanical technology, but they found it emotionally unsatisfying. I believe that's what he says. And I can absolutely imagine that for the engineers, that this advanced race obviously went down the mechanical pathway. And, well, we see now that they're very much about genetic augmentation and everything biological. So, having a problem with androids, I could see it, because maybe androids or AI were a problem for engineers at one point in a Terminator-esque fashion.
Yeah, and that goes back towards what someone figured out what he was saying in that deleted scene, and to a rough extent, he says so much less, and it's not subtitled.
That's the wonderful thing about the engineers. We don't know for certain, so I do appreciate the ambiguity. If they had given us subtitles, yeah, that would have been a problem, because it's just, oh, this is exactly, we've been told exactly what the problem is.
Well, in both video versions, as you were just saying, he does rip David's head off and uses it to hit Wayland. And, you know, I mean, that's just, you know, really insulting the guy here. I'm going to use this tool you've had as my own personal tool weapon to put you down. And it is just the one hit that it needs for Wayland, this frail old man.
100-year-old man, yeah.
Versus the other people, you know, I mean, he hits them pretty good too, and it does seem like they probably are, if they're not dead, they're probably going to be with what's to come inside that ship.
Yeah.
Not being strapped in. I assume there's probably a little bit of a strapping in that will, or that we don't really maybe it is shown after the minutes I'm on here, but.
One idea I thought was that maybe that humans weren't supposed to create their own kind of life. So that could be another thing. Maybe it's not even about androids. It's just, oh, you're creating something. You're not allowed to do that. So.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be that much of a robot android. It's just, if it's, you know, anything other than your own flesh and blood progeny, it's heretical, or, you know, it's forbidden.
Endless possibilities. Yeah, I could actually see that working, because they definitely have the whole culture, or even cult, of creating life seems to be everything their entire society is predicated upon. So the idea of creating this artificial being that contains none of your essence, your DNA, whatever it is, a soul, maybe that is an abomination to them. Oh, I remember the other thing I was gonna... In the deleted scene, when David's head is flung across towards Waylon's collapsed body, he says sorry.
I didn't catch that.
It's very quiet. I almost missed it. And, you know, I watched it like the third time. I went, hang on. Hang on. Okay. It's very polite. It's not your fault, David, but okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So where can we find you, Eric?
You know, besides the podcast I do, I mean, there's definitely other ways you can reach me as well. More personally, on Twitter at Lucky Mustard. Even though I don't really have much there right now, you never know, I may add more on Instagram. You just add ING, Lucky Mustard Dean. Someone stole my well over 10-year-old favorite username for that I've had a while.
It's very specific. What are the odds?
Well, and that's the thing. After I was using it for a couple years and I was on a forum or something, and someone posted a picture of a Lucky Mustard ketchup pack, or not ketchup, you know, packet.
All right.
A mustard packet that was called Lucky Mustard. So someone else maybe came to it via that. I came to it via the Radiohead song Lucky and the Beatles song Mean Mr. Mustard. And just put those couple things together to try to have something somewhat unique.
All right.
Yeah.
That's a good way to come up with these, isn't it? This is Colson signing off. And you can find me on TravianDesigns.com, TravianDesigns, Patreon.com/TravianDesigns. I'd like to thank my Patreon supporters, Mark Boda, Tariq, William Elcott, Simon Haynes, and Gray Malkin.